Blog Talk Radio.
Surprise to anybody that escorts around the country are tuned in to how the media cover our work and our lives. It may, however, come as a surprise to some that sex workers in many sectors have something to say about it. They have insight, they have analysis, and they have outrage. Bound Not Gagged is our way of responding to the injustice and hypocrisy that keeps sex workers' voices muted and faces hidden. Sex workers may be in hiding, but they refuse to be silent. At Bound Not Gagged, you will get an inside look at the true inner workings of this mysterious business. The Desiree Alliance is a proud sponsor of this project. Remember, www.bounotgagged.com.
Alrighty, this is XXBN Raleigh, North Carolina. I am Joe Brenneman, and this is the second episode of Brenneman Airplane tonight. Of course, we had one this afternoon, Desk Renegade Evolution. This is our second installment tonight, commemorating and celebrating International Day to End Violence Against Sex Workers. The number to call in is 646-200-3136. You can call in to discuss your events as they're happening all over the world tonight. We have guest Amanda Brooks slated to join us from Singapore this evening. Before we get to that, let's head over to the Crown Weather Services Forecast Center. So we've got some weather happening in Raleigh, and let's check out what's happening with the weather. A winter storm watch is currently in effect for most of North Carolina, including the Raleigh-Durham area. Forecast for tonight in Raleigh-Durham, increasing clouds and very cold. Overnight lows tonight near 28. Expect cloudy skies to start off on Friday. Snow will develop mainly in the afternoon. Chance of rain being included in that. Daytime highs will be in the 30s, perhaps the low 40s. As precipitation makes its way into the area through the day, we'll see a mixture of rain and snow from the triangle north and west. It should remain all snow through the evening in areas to the west of the triangle and all rain to the south and east, depending on the direction of the storm. Cloudy skies remain with us Friday evening. Overnight lows Friday evening 33 and Saturday. Rain and snow taper off in the morning, drizzle, perhaps flurries in the afternoon, highs 35. Once again, Raleigh-Durham under a winter weather advisory. Most of North Carolina is under a winter storm watch or a winter storm warning. Currently, it's 38 in Raleigh-Durham. International Day to End Violence Against Sex Workers. It was a day that was created by Dr. Annie Sprinkle. It was first celebrated in 2003. The International Day to End Violence Against Sex Workers was the brainchild of both Annie Sprinkle and the Sex Workers Outreach Project USA, which is a U.S.-based sex worker rights organization. Originally, it was conceived as a memorial and a vigil for the victims of the Green River Killer in Seattle, Washington, which is in the Pacific Northwest in the U.S., it's evolved into an international event. The day calls attention to hate crimes associated with those committed against sex workers all over the globe, as well as a need to remove the stigma and discrimination perpetuated by custom and prohibitionist laws that has made sex workers, violence against sex workers, acceptable. The red umbrella has become an important symbol for the sex worker rights movement and is increasingly being used on December 17th. It was first adopted by the Nation Sex Workers for an Anti-Violence March in 2002. Red umbrellas have come to symbolize resistance against discrimination for sex workers worldwide. There are events happening worldwide, and to give you somewhat of a breakdown of those events, tell you what's happening worldwide. This is from the SWAP Sex Workers Outreach Project USA, which is the national chapter of the Sex Workers Outreach Project. Locations that are scheduled to be happening or have happened today: Albuquerque, New Mexico, Boston, Chicago, Detroit, Las Vegas, New York, Phoenix, Portland, Oregon, San Francisco, Seattle, Toledo, Tucson. International events include Montreal, PQ, Sydney, Australia, Darwin, Australia, Melbourne, Australia, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Victoria, BC, which is outside of Vancouver, Chittagong, Bangladesh, Halifax, Nova Scotia, and Hong Kong. These are all places where this is transpiring. Once again, the number to call in, if you'd like to join us for this evening, is 646-200-3136, 646-200-3136. This is the Brenneman Airplane on XXBN. All right. We have a caller calling in, so let's bring in our caller. Okay, we have someone calling in.
Yes, we do.
This
Hello?
Hi. You're on the air.
Hi there. This is Modern Hooker in Tucson, Arizona.
Modern Hooker, how what's happening in Tucson?
Well, right now we've just started the second part of our event. We're doing we have some shamans who are doing a ritual. They've just smudged, created a magic circle, and they smudged the circle, smudged everybody in it, and there's going to be some, what we're going to be doing is having candles and reading off names, and when somebody says, like, Opal Mills, they'll be, like, the name associated with their flower. They'll say Opal Mills, and the circle says, Opal Mills, we remember you. And after that, there's going to be some ritual bloodletting, fingerprint pricking, to drop blood on the ground. And the place that we're having it is a shrine called El Tiradito. And it's the only shrine in the United States dedicated to, it's unconsecrated ground dedicated to a sinner. And the story behind it is a love triangle. And so the sex workers here in Tucson have always felt, you know, kind of it's had a special place in our hearts for it. And so it's just beautiful. We have about 50 people here. We just came over from the downtown park and had this incredible die-in. That was just magnificent with a great installation. We'll be posting pictures for everyone to see up on BNG or swap-tucson.org. So it's a beautiful, solemn night.
Well, how do you feel the reception has gone in terms of, you know, has there been any interaction with this, you know, the public outside of sex worker participation?
Well, not really. There's, you know, when we were downtown, we chose the downtown plaza, and we chose to do our event at 5 o'clock, so we could, you know, so people that were streaming out of their offices could have a chance to view our installation. And our installation was a three-sided, large panel that gave the story about Marsha Powell. And if you're not familiar, Marsha Powell was a sex worker here in Arizona. She's an inmate in Perryville Prison and died on May 20th of this year. She's serving 27 months for solicitation of oral sex. And she was left outside in a holding cage in 107-degree heat and died. And so that's what that part of the installation was about. So the public's been very curious, very respectful. Inside the installation, one of our cohorts here was singing opera, very solemn and beautiful.
I'm not sure if we lost our cohort.
Excuse me?
I think we lost you for a moment. Okay.
I'm sorry.
We're having a minor technical difficulty. We lost you for a moment.
Oh, sorry about that. So where were we?
It was a question for you. Can you give the audience a little bit more detail on, in terms of the sex worker that died in the jail?
Sure. So I'll just tell the story again. Her name was Marcia Powell. She was doing 27 months for prostitution. She had had an enhanced sentence. The last time she was arrested, it was for oral solicitation of oral sex. And on May 20th of this year, she was put outside in a holding cage without shade or food or water. And in Arizona, it gets extremely hot in the summer. It was 107 that day. She was left outside for 4 hours, completely forgotten, and she went into physical trauma, heat stroke, and was taken to the hospital and died. And at the time of her death, her body temperature was 108 degrees. And so part of our theme this year involves Marcia Powell because she was a sex worker and because of, you know, the it ties in with, you know, she was doing 27 months and all that. Now, let me just do a little bit more reporting here, if I may. Right now, people are going around the circle. Everyone has a carnation, and attached to each carnation is the name of a sex worker who has died or been the victim of violence, and people are speaking their names. And I wish you could see it. It's just gorgeous. There's this huge candelabra that holds 100 candles, and everyone is in a circle around that. It's very pretty.
So once again, for listeners who may have just joined us, this is taking place in Tucson, Arizona, in the United States. In total activities this evening, do you have more activities scheduled beyond this, or is this?
Yes, we do. We absolutely do. Tomorrow, we're going to be traveling 180 miles north of us and going to downtown Phoenix, where we have a big protest rally planned on the steps of the Arizona Department of Corrections. And it's going to be a political action. We've created a demand letter to the Arizona Department of Correction and the governor of the state of Arizona. And we have certain demands and calls to action around that. I'm not privy to all the finer details of that, so I'm probably not the best person to talk about it. I've seen the letter, but I don't think I'm comfortable like explaining that. But we're going to have a lot of people, not just sex workers and sex worker allies, but prisoner rights groups, anarchists, just various and sundry, you know, wonderful people who are out here supporting our cause.
So did you anticipate any difficulty, you know, in terms of a response from authorities in regard to the protest?
No, we don't. No, in fact, we had a minor incident today. It was kind of funny. We we had like this logistical like kind of mess up, and we needed like the person who's supposed to bring the truck to haul our big installation downtown, you know, like five blocks into downtown, forgot the truck or something. So Carol Lee, you know, goddess Scarlet Harlot, the godmother of the sex worker rights movement, she's here with us today. Carol Lee and a couple of others, about 10 or 15 others were out in the street trying to flag down anybody with a truck. And we got pulled over, or a cop came up and you know, he wondered what we were doing, and we told him what he wanted to hear, and he went on his way. And then this wonderful guy came up, and we descended upon him like only a hooker can, and he volunteered to use his truck for us. So he hauled a thing down there. It was pretty cool.
He became an instant supporter, I take it.
He did. Oh, man, he loved us. Yeah, he was awesome. So that was a bright spot. But, no, I mean, to answer your question, we don't anticipate, any trouble with police or anything. We will have Cop Watch up in Phoenix. Are you familiar with Cop Watch?
I am, but for the sake of
for the listeners. Cop Watch is a group of people that will that they make their presence known, or they are present at various things like political rallies, and they are equipped with video cameras and still cameras, and they will monitor any police interaction with protesters. It's my understanding they don't necessarily step in and become advocates or intermediaries or referees or anything, but they are there to document police involvement with citizens who are expressing their First Amendment rights.
Now, for more details, if someone would like to attend the protest tomorrow, is there a way for, you know, to someone who's listening or for, you know, ordinary citizen to take part in this?
Absolutely. You can go visit http://swap-tucson.org. That's SWOP-TUCSON.org. And navigate to our International Data and Violence Against Sex Workers page. There should be updated information on there. If your computer's down or you don't have access to a computer, it's downtown on Jefferson Street, Arizona Department of Corrections offices, and I think SWAP National may actually have some information around that. Or you can follow SWAP National on Twitter, and they'll be doing hashtag December 17th and posting live updates as well as information on where what the address is. I don't have the address with me.
My guest currently with us is Modern Hooker. She is calling in from Tucson regarding the International Day to End Violence Against Sex Workers events that are happening in the Southern Arizona area. This, of course, is the Brenneman Airplane on XXBN. If you'd like to join in, 646-200-3136. You can also join in on chat at xxbn.net. Just a brief reminder from our sponsor, Crown Weather Services. The Raleigh-Durham area is currently under a winter weather advisory. We're anticipating 2-plus inches of snow, possibly mixed with freezing rain or rain, Friday evening into Saturday. That is courtesy of one of our sponsors, the Crown Water Service of Presque Isle, Maine, and you can check them out at www.crownweather.com. I don't want to keep you from the event. Do you have a few more moments to chat with us, or do you need to depart to go back to the event?
No, I'm fine. I can talk for a few minutes more.
In terms of developing, where do you see, and you're part of the Sex Workers Outreach Project Tucson chapter, correct?
Right. Yes.
How do you see, you know, I've seen so many areas where there seems to be backlash from conservatives against the sex worker rights movement. You know, we saw the rollback of decriminalization in Rhode Island. What do you see happening in Arizona?
You mean politically?
Yes.
Well, there isn't a there's not a Phoenix chapter, although we've been trying to start one for a while. Phoenix got a lot of sex workers in Phoenix have been scared kind of in back into the shadows because two summers ago, there was this huge bust of a couple of agencies, and now everybody's paranoid and afraid to, you know, trust that, you know, we're cool and we're not like, you know, informers or we're not trying to get the goods on people. So we haven't had any success starting a Phoenix chapter, but here in Tucson, our focus has primarily been local outreach and some national participation, some global participation. We were part of the Pledging Action, which was an action that where we collected, I think, 4,000 condoms and 2,000 individual tubes of lube and shipped them down to Chile for the sex workers down there. So our primary focus here in Tucson is basically local community outreach. But before SWAP was even around, Tucson has been kind of a hub of sex worker rights activities. We've had the Sex Worker Arts Festival in the early 2000s. I think it was 2001 to 2005, or maybe 2000 to 2004. That was this, you know, awesome event. It was like a four-day festival, arts, films, performers, workshops. You know, like I said, it'd go for 3 or 4 days, parties. It was just really fun. And some of the older activists like myself, we turned it over to the younger people, said, you know, it's your guys' turn. You got to figure, you know, do something with it. And not a whole lot happened because I think people started kind of migrating toward Desiree conferences and things like that. So that's kind of, you know, what Tucson does is, we have a long, long history of sex worker rights activism. We have a really supportive community, just incredible. I mean, when we do our festivals, or when we did our festivals in the past, we would have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people turn out for them, you know. And so, you know, there's a lot of love here for that.
All right, you're listening to the Brenneman Airplane on XXBN. XXBN is a collaborative partner with Sex Workers Outreach Project East, which is based in Raleigh, North Carolina. We have another caller joining us. Caller, you are on XXBN. Go ahead.
Hey, Jill, it's Amanda.
And we have Amanda. Amanda,
yeah.
the founder of Pledging Action.
Awesome. Hi, Amanda. It's Modern Hooker.
Hey, how are you? Nice to finally meet you.
Yeah, you too.
Yes. I have no idea how my number showed up there, Jill. But anyway.
It has your home number, actually. Let me give that out.
Yeah, thanks. Anyway, there's I'm kind of just doing my thing here in Singapore. There's prostitution is legal in Singapore within certain restrictions, but basically, for the most part, they just turn a blind eye to everything as long as you, you know, you're discreet and you don't cause trouble, which actually nobody in Singapore causes trouble. The thing is, though, because there is such a huge migrant population here, most of the sex workers here are not native Singaporeans. They're from other neighboring countries. They're very transitory, and there's not much of a sense of community that I've managed to find. I haven't done the outreach that I've wanted to yet, but it's kind of difficult. There's definitely clinics here. A lot of people speak different languages. That's definitely one barrier. And you can't assume, even though most people in Singapore speak English, you can't assume that the other sex workers from the other countries are able to speak English. So it's something I would like to work on here, but, you know, I've only been here a month and still getting a feel for things, so it's kind of, it would be so fun to start some sort of sense of community here, but I don't know that there's any particular drive for it necessarily.
Ironically, we have a question that came in via XXBN's chat, which either our first guest who is with us from Tucson, Modern Hooker, or Amanda Brooks, who's joining us from Singapore. The question is caller, but that's not really the right word. The chat room participant is asking for more details on pledging action.
Oh, yeah.
Pledging action was started as a response to the 2003 USAID anti-prostitution pledge, spearheaded by Randall Tobias, who was one of the D.C. Madam's clients, ironically enough. And the anti-prostitution pledge basically said that USAID will not give funding to any organization that, quote-unquote, supports prostitution. The problem with this is that many of these organizations that supported prostitution really did outreach for sex workers, like give them condoms, give them a place to have a cup of coffee, give them a place to come in and get tested or connect with other members of the community. And many of these sex workers were survival sex workers, and they have no other resources. So when the funding to these organizations were cut, they not only lost their community, they lost access to health services and free condoms. And the consequences have been devastating because they've already have shown medically that the rate of AIDS has gone up in these countries and locations that were affected by the anti-prostitution pledge because the sex workers don't have access to condoms, and condoms save lives. So pledging action came about because I got the idea to donate condoms to sex workers in countries who were affected by the anti-prostitution pledge. It's sort of a stop and start effort, honestly, and I wish that more could be done, but it's sort of, do it as you can sort of thing. The initiative is there, and the anti-prostitution pledge is still in place, so sex workers are still being affected by this.
All right. Now, let's go back to Modern Hooker.
Hi. Sorry, I keep cutting in and out. So right now, people are taking pinpricks and dropping blood on the unconsecrated ground here at the El Toradito Shrine in Tucson, Arizona. And one worker is speaking about her experiences with court and violence and sex work, and she's about to get a piercing. There's two things you can do here this evening. You can volunteer to get a pinprick, or there's been a couple of people that have prearranged agreements with the two shamans that are conducting our ritual to do ritual piercing. And each of those people that are doing the piercings are holding a special place. For instance, one person is going to represent those who have lost their lives in the course of sex work. Somebody is going to do one for those people who have endured violence or suffered violence as a result of their sex work. There's one who's going to hold the space for those who never got to tell their stories and for those whose names we don't know. And there's a couple other ones. I'm not quite sure what they are, but it's just beautiful here. There's about 50 people standing in a large circle at the historic El Toradito Shrine. Everyone's in a circle around a candelabra that holds 100 candles, and people have gone around and placed carnations with the names of sex workers on the candelabra. So now we're into the piercing part of the ritual. It's very beautiful. We also have crisis counselors here wearing glow stick necklaces for anyone who feels the need to, this is a very emotional day for all sex workers everywhere, and mm-hmm. especially in the context of a candlelight vigil, a memorial, or a ritual like this. It brings up a lot of powerful emotions. It touches all of us. It touches fear. Perhaps we've, you know, had scary moments with clients. Perhaps we've been actual victims of violence. And things like this, in the context of the solemn and rather serious type of gathering, it can bring up some, it can trigger some powerful emotions in people. And so we have crisis counselors available. That's what's happening here right now.
You know, and truly that's a truly beneficial and wonderful component that you have crisis counselors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had a couple of people who were perhaps interested in participating who've been unable to because of what the day evokes for them.
Yeah. I cry every year. You know, I cry every year. It's just so touching. You know, I feel the pain of, you know, of what, how violence impacts the individual if they're able to survive it, how violence impacts the families and loved ones of those who aren't lucky enough to survive. It's, you know, Carol Lee spoke at the very beginning of our event here today, and she spoke about people all over the world who endure the same type of situations that we do, that, you know, where we sex workers, when they're a victim of violence, have to weigh between reporting it to the police and risking arrest. You know, and that in itself is, it's a violation of human rights and civil rights. All people should be able to turn to authorities in order to prosecute, prosecute assaults and homicides. And I wanted to mention another aspect, if I might. One of our themes this year is No Human Involved, NHI. For years and years, police investigative homicide forms would have three designations, three checkboxes for homicide victims: male, female, and NHI, or No Human Involved. And often prostitutes were clicked off in the NHI checkbox. So that is just, you know, this devastatingly shocking example of the stigmatization that we've faced. You know, I mean, it's not news, but I mean, for it to be on something like an official government-sanctioned police form, it just kind of speaks to the level of stigmatization that we face. It's not a joke. We're not making it up. We're not trying to go, oh, poor us, you know. It's a real, a shocking and thing that's been just accepted by everybody. You know, just another dead hooker jokes, you know. It's just become part of our society, and that's one of the most important things we in the sex worker rights movement can do, is to bring awareness to people. You know, we are humans. You know, we are people that have, you know, that have same rights as everyone else. We're not freaks, you know, and we're not dogs. And, you know, we deserve human rights. We deserve our civil rights. And, you know, the time is now.
You know, one of the things that you've illustrated, and you know, where we have modern hooker in Tucson, you know, in a state and a city in which prostitution is criminalized, and we have Amanda Brooks in Singapore where it is not criminalized. I guess a question that I would pose to Amanda, which would probably come up from listeners or from a mainstream audience, would be, Amanda, do you feel safer or less safe as a result of it being, the police turning a blind eye in Singapore? Oops, I think we lost Amanda. Looks like we lost Amanda. Modern hooker, I guess I would pose that to you. Do you feel that criminalization, the advocates such as Donna Hughes or Melissa Farley, who advocate criminalization, pose it as a method to enhance safety for sex workers, which seems contradictory to me. I'm wondering what your thought would be on that.
Well, you know what? I would love to answer that, but I'm going to have to break away for a little bit. I can check back before the end of the hour. There's a part of the ritual here that I'd like to participate in. And so would it be okay if I call back in a little while?
Absolutely. We will be on for 24 more minutes.
Great. Thank you, Ash. I apologize, but, you know, we're live reporting from this ritual here in Tucson, Arizona, or memorial here in Tucson, Arizona, and I want to participate a little bit. So thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it, Jill.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us on XXBN this evening.
Absolutely. Goodbye.
All right. I'm back with us, I think, from Singapore. From Singapore City.
Yeah.
I believe we have Amanda Brooks back.
Yes. I accidentally moved my phone and it disconnected. Anyway, yes, I do feel a lot safer here. I felt safer when I was working in the UK and France, but I feel even safer here because the Asian society is vastly different from westernized Christian-based societies. And the Asian society here, as I've been told by many people and just by my own observations, sex and commercial sex is simply viewed as a part of life. And it's not something that's demonized one way or another. It's simply part of life. Now, that's not saying that hookers are necessarily, everybody wants their little girl to grow up to be a hooker. That's not true. There's still some job stigma there, but the stigma is merely just social stigma. It's from a social standpoint, you know, you're not going to invite your next door hooker to your local garden party or something. It's not that she's a lesser person or someone to be looked down upon or someone who doesn't deserve rights. She's simply just not socially acceptable, that's all. And the difference in attitude here, yes, I feel much safer. There's here in Singapore, there are sex workers everywhere. I mean, it's really easy to find. It's very out in the open. From what I understand, sometimes people get annoyed, but usually the people who get annoyed by the obvious prostitution are Westerners visiting Singapore. The local Singaporeans, they know where it is, and they either avoid that area or they simply just ignore it. And that's pretty much it. And the men that I have seen here, some of them completely relish the fact that it's out in the open, and some of them it is simply yet another part of life. But they don't see it as something that requires the women who are sex workers here aren't stigmatized either by them. From what I've seen by the men. And it's just a very different atmosphere. I like it a lot.
Now, one of the things that we did this evening on XXBN, which this is the Brenneman Airplane on XXBN, we sent out invitations to those who advocate criminalization, who would like to compare their viewpoints with Amanda, Amanda who is working in Singapore. And I would like to introduce the audience to all of those who I invited to take part in this event this evening so that they could exchange viewpoints. However, none of them have called in. Certainly, they can call in at 646-200-3136, or anyone can call in. But we want to put it out there that we recognize there are different viewpoints, and we put a nice invitation together to those who would like to offer an opinion contrary to Amanda's, such as Melissa Farley or Donna Hughes of the Coalition Against Trafficking, who essentially brought completely criminalized status back to prostitution in Rhode Island. But either they declined to join us or their phones broke.
Yes, I will say there is I talked to someone who was actually with the local vice squad for a few years, and the vice squad here would go to Geylang, the main red light district here in Singapore, and they would question the sex workers that they saw and ask them if they had their health card. If they didn't have their health card, they would more than likely just be deported back to their country, and they would ask them, you know, have you gotten your test recently? If not, they would pull them off the street and go get them their AIDS test. That was a vice squad. They weren't there to bust the women for solicitation for doing their job. It was simply, do you have your proper licensing? And if not, well, we're going to address that issue. But that was a vice squad. And as far as from what I understand, that is still the role of vice in Singapore. Now, it is still illegal for, I believe that pimping is illegal here, and I do believe it is still illegal to directly solicit for sex, but it's not something they focus a lot of their time on. They have their other issues that they see as a greater concern for them than simply whether or not adults want to pay for sex.
So essentially, the difference between Singapore and the U.S. is, they prioritize things like murder, if I'm understanding correctly, over...
Murder, safety, because this is an area where we're not very far from Bali, in Indonesia, where there is radical Muslims, and there have been, terrorist bombings in this area before, so... Yes, they have greater concerns than what a woman decides to do with her body.
I think you probably just ruined Jerry Falwell's day.
Oh, someone like him actually would have come over here, and he probably would have been the one looking for like 12-year-old girls or something, or 12-year-old boys.
Well, he probably knows that it's okay if it's outside the U.S.
Yeah, probably. Yes, I will address the issue of trafficking because more than a couple of my clients have mentioned this, that they have seen girls here that they are aware, well aware that they come over here and their passports are taken. They're doing work that they don't necessarily choose to do and aren't very happy with. That happens, but that also happens in the U.S. And so, honestly, the issue of trafficking, because constantly in the U.S. prostitution is criminalized supposedly to fight sexual trafficking, but it goes on regardless. And even in a decriminalized, legalized system like here in Singapore, it goes on. And it goes on because there are people who are always willing to exploit other people. There are laws against trafficking here, and I have zero doubt that if the traffickers were found out, they would be arrested here in Singapore and, punished however the laws are set up to punish them. And they would do that. But they don't it makes criminalizing or not criminalizing, I don't believe, makes any difference to traffickers because if they're going to exploit somebody, they're going to do it regardless of the laws because that's the type of person that they are.
Well, we had this discussion on a previous edition this afternoon of the Bremen Airplane at 2 o'clock when we had Renegade Evolution. And, brought up an interesting point that traffickers tend to not care very much about the law anyway.
No, they don't. Yeah, if you're going to exploit somebody and if you're going to force them into virtual slave labor, yeah, you're not going to care very much about the law. You're not going to be a very empathetic person. You obviously don't care about human rights. So, yeah, all that is completely irrelevant to them. What is relevant is that the women who wish to work wish to work as prostitutes here can do so without fear.
So I guess the question I would pose to you, looking at from the conservative feminist Donahue's type viewpoint, would arresting you being a consenting prostitute, would that end trafficking?
I doubt it, because I'm here of my own volition. And I really don't think that me being here or me being arrested would really affect the traffickers in any way, except perhaps that it takes the attention away from them and puts it on me, because I'm a much easier target.
Now, one of the points that I've seen brought up a few times today is that criminalization empowers the violence, such as what happened in Seattle with the Green River Killer.
Yeah.
The thought process being, of course, that if sex workers are afraid they're going to be arrested, or in fact are going to be arrested, whether they're a witness or whether they were, you know, a victim that somehow got away. What are your thoughts on that perspective?
I think that's completely true, because in a society where a woman who is a prostitute can go to the police and say, this crime was committed against me, and the police will say, we don't want this crime happening in our neighborhood, we'll take care of it, that's a huge difference from a woman who's so scared to approach the police and tell them there's a criminal loose and he did this to me, and they just throw her in jail and don't look for the criminal. There's a huge difference. There have been a couple of serial killers in the UK, but they have been caught fairly quickly as compared to the criminalized system in the U.S., where serial killers run rampant and prey on sex workers for years. Because even though the serial killers preyed on UK sex workers, the police were actually looking to find the serial killers, as opposed to the U.S., where they don't bother. And here in Singapore, it's such a low-crime city that I have very little doubt that if a crime such as someone killing a sex worker were to happen, the police would definitely be on top of the investigation, simply because they don't want a murderer loose in their city. And it's that simple. It doesn't matter who he killed. The fact that he's a killer means they want to get him off the streets.
Which would seem far more logical than you know, the puritanical basis of.
Yes, their goal would not be to get the sex workers off the streets, because the sex workers aren't causing the problem.
This is XXBN and the Brenneman Airplane on XXBN, taking a brief break to check the forecast from one of our sponsors. The Crown Weather Service. Crown Weather Service has a weather update for Raleigh-Durham. The Raleigh-Durham area is under a winter weather advisory. This is in effect from noon Friday till 7 p.m. Saturday. The National Weather Service in Raleigh has issued a winter weather advisory for a wintry mix, which is in effect through the stated period. Once again, that is noon Friday to 7 p.m. Saturday. We're anticipating snow and sleet accumulation of 1 to 2 inches with an additional coating of freezing rain possible. This is highly uncertain at this point, as the storm is still forming. Daytime high temperatures on Friday, expecting a high of 41. Overnight Friday night, still looking at snow, perhaps changing to rain, the overnight low of 34. And on Saturday, snow and rain in the morning, then just cloudy in the afternoon. Daytime high is 35. Currently it's 39 in Raleigh-Durham. And that is the forecast from Crown Weather Services. You can check out all the latest information nationwide on the Crown Weather Services Forecast Center, and that is www.crownweather.com. Amanda, are you worried about any snow or freezing precipitation in your area?
Only if the world were about to end. It is partly cloudy out here, which is normal because it's the rainy season. And it's mostly sunny, and it's hot and humid, and that's pretty much how it's going to be year-round. Apparently, in the rainy season, it'll rain like half the day, and in the dry season, it doesn't rain. Otherwise, it's hot, sunny, and sticky.
So for our listeners just joining, that would be an emphatic no. You don't anticipate the East Coast storm to spread?
No, not at all, unless, like I said, the world were coming to an end. Oh, my God, I can't even imagine the Singaporean reaction to snow and ice. Oh, my God, they probably would think the world was ending.
Yeah, that might just happen here. You know, the supermarkets were quite full here this evening. It's still not too late. You can still join us. We've got approximately 9 minutes left, 646-200-3136. You can call in about live events that you have taken part in on International Day to End Violence Against Sex Workers, or if you were a viewer of these events, or if you just have thoughts or questions for our guest, Amanda Brooks. You can also go to the parent website, which is SWOPEAST, SWOPEAST.org, if you'd like to download this program and share it with others, or just listen to it again. Once again, that's SWOPEAST, SWOPEAST.org. 8 minutes left. We have Amanda Brooks in Singapore. Amanda, what does this day mean to you?
It means a moment to sit down and think about what being a sex worker means, what being a sex worker under these different laws and systems mean, because however I choose to structure my work ultimately makes no difference, because my work and my life is actually affected more by the countries I am working in than anything I can do for myself. It means that my life and my work is not actually under my control as much as I want it to be. This is really highlighted in the differences I feel between working in the U.S. and working in other countries. In the U.S., very, very bad things could happen to me, and there's no recourse. I'm not painting an overly sunny picture of working in other countries, because violence can still happen to sex workers there. The chances of the violence go down, though, in countries where it's far more accepted. And justice is far more likely in countries where sex work is more accepted and tolerated, starting with the legal system down to, you know, the everyday person on the street. And, yeah, it's a time to remember my colleagues who lost their lives, and by and large they lost their lives because people, especially in criminalized countries, people tend to go with what the law tells them. And when the law tells them a sex worker is a criminal and that a sex worker is worthless, then they believe that. And my colleagues' lives were seen as disposable. And it's sad, and it makes me very angry.
If you could bring one aspect of your experiences outside the U.S. back to the U.S., what would you bring?
That to live and work without fear is freedom. And the U.S. cannot call itself a free country when there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people living and working in fear every day. That fear ultimately costs lives.
Well, once again, we have 5 minutes, 646-200-3136. You can also submit a question through the XXBN chat room. Events happening all over the world, all in relation to International Day to End Violence Against Sex Workers. various activities happening all over the United States, in Vegas, in Detroit, in New York, Phoenix, Portland, Oregon, San Francisco, Seattle, Tucson, Toledo, up in Canada, in Montreal, and in Victoria, outside of Vancouver and Toronto in Montreal. Also in Bangladesh, I perhaps Amanda can pronounce this. Is it Chittagong?
I don't know. I'm terrible with pronunciation out here. but that's awesome. What are they doing in Bangladesh?
In Bangladesh, it's a human chain with red umbrella to combat violence against sex workers and an opinion exchange meeting on violence on sex workers as a violation of human and women's rights. That is happening in Chittagong, Bangladesh, in front of the Chittagong Press Club.
Do you know if they're doing anything in Cambodia?
In Cambodia, looking at the website that I have, I don't see anything in Cambodia. I see Hong Kong, multiple cities in Australia, in Darwin and in Melbourne, Australia, and Sydney. I did not see anything in Cambodia.
Well, the problem there is, I'm thinking if they demonstrated, they would probably be arrested.
Well, you know, it has, listeners may not know, you know, the U.S. has imposed its moral viewpoint into Cambodia again, which perhaps Amanda could better describe that situation.
Well, that was last year. I honestly haven't been keeping up with it like I should, but last year they put Condoleezza Rice, actually was one of the spearheads of this. They put Cambodia, they gave it a bad grade and put it on one of their human trafficking lists, like they gave the country a bad grade. So in response, and because the U.S. kind of encourages, they start causing prostitution, and so they raided brothels. They wholesale arrested prostitutes and put them into basically what were concentration camps for prostitutes. They were arrested, beaten, raped. Several were killed. Those that were left on the streets had their condoms taken away, and they couldn't get more. And this was all in the guise of supposedly fighting human trafficking. And again, these women were consenting sex workers. It doesn't matter if she's making a lot of money or she's just, you know, putting food on the table for her family. If she makes the choice, and it was a complete human rights violation, all in the name of supposedly fighting sexual trafficking. And as for actually finding any traffickers, I don't know that they did.
So the logic that they're using is if someone's in a concentration camp, it's harder to traffic them?
Yeah, I don't know that they saved anybody. And if there actually were trafficking victims in the brothels, they were swept up in the raid. They were arrested, traumatized, raped, beaten. So I'm not really sure how they rescued anybody.
Well, I guess the important thing is the conservative activists that were behind it got to add another line to their resume.
Yes, they could count it as a victory because they sent a message to traffickers that we're going to take all the consenting adult workers out of the workforce.
Yes. Well, we have 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts?
Everyone should sit down and think today, because whether you know it or not, you know a sex worker.
All right. That has been Amanda Brooks. She has been joining us from Singapore. Also with us this evening was Modern Hooker. She was reporting live from Tucson. I am Jill Brenneman. This is XXBN Raleigh. I'd like to thank our musical supporters this evening, Rusted Root and Julie Waters, and our weather sponsor, Crown Weather Services. the Brenneman airplane as an exclusive product of Swap East. Mm-hmm.